Let me take you through the 10-point plan of the ANC as adopted last week. Point 9, using the lessons from successfully working with the Gupta family, the ANC has committed itself to diversifying trade partners for government. This means, and I want you to listen carefully, that the party will seek more shady families to work with to siphon money from the state and later institute a commission to investigate the mess, just for show. The ANC has promised to use the skills of top cops like Lieutenant General Shadrack Sibiya to root out any rot that may impact negatively on this plan. General Sibiya, if you did not know, is famous for working with upstanding citizens who are known for being whistleblowers. Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. Big ups to those of you at the prompting of Eshla Mariani in the last episode subscribed to this podcast, right? I truly appreciate it. If you haven't yet, please pause and find that subscribe button on the top right of your screen, just underneath this image, and click it. In the words of Madiba, I thank you. Now, let's get down to the business of the day. The partial ruling party, the African National Congress, has released what it calls a 10-point economic recovery plan. This, the party has promised, is the best thing since sliced bread and is very successful through the eye of the needle policy adopted in Stellenbosch in 2001. Now, as a result of the through the eye of the needle policy, the ANC has groomed some of the most disciplined and upright members within its ranks, including Free State or former Free State Agriculture Minister Msebenzi Zwane, former Social Development Minister Batabile Dlamini, former Ambassador to the Netherlands Karl Niehaus, and former Northern Cape Premier John Block, among others, that is. Back to the 10-pin bowling plan of the ANC adopted by its National Executive Committee. The party seeks to restore the glory of the movement of Mandela, Tambo, and Sisulu and take South Africa to the promised land of a better life for all. South Africans have greeted this plan with much jubilation based on the ANC's success in implementing previous plans that have reformed this country to one of the most admired in the world. Some of these plans of the past include the Reconstruction and Development Program, which delivered housing, water, and electricity for all. South Africa has since been or become a model of the developing world where millions of houses have been provided, some on the sides of highways and others covered in plastic that otherwise would have ended in our seas, thereby killing our valuable sea life before it gets poached by gangs and the police alike. But I digress. In other news, former president of the ANC, Thabo Mbeki, himself a member of the NEC, has been seen enjoying himself in a new life as a social photographer. A photographer photographed Mbeki photographing his wife, Mama Zanele, the other day. It was comforting to see a camera hanging around the neck of Mbeki, as opposed to previous issues that have plagued his legacy, like AIDS denialism, and so on and so forth. Let me take you through the 10-point plan of the ANC as adopted last week. Okay. Point 1. The ANC plans to use electricity tariffs and investment in transmission infrastructure to drive economic activity. I don't know what that means. The party will implement preferential electricity tariffs for ferrochrome, manganese, and steel. The ANC emphasized that it did not learn about the word tariffs from US President Donald Trump. In a statement, President Cyril Ramaphosa said that the ANC believes in originality and the party is not a copycat. He admitted, however, that no one more than Trump knows about tariffs. As part of Plan 1, the ANC will fast-track the transmission development plan to target 14,000 kilometers of new transmission lines. This is in line with how the ANC has, in the past 30 years, fast-tracked maintenance of roads, water infrastructure, and the recovery of the post office, among others. Point 2. The ANC seeks to accelerate freight and logistics sector recovery by implementing the Transnet's recovery plan, increasing private sector participation in rail and port operations, and upgrading export corridors. The ANC committed to use the same successful model it applied in completing the Medupi and Kusile power stations. Medupi in Limpopo had the original completion date of 2015 and was delivered in 2021 at a final cost of 230 billion rand, a slight over expenditure on the original budget of 80 billion rand. The Kusile plant, on the other hand, in Mpumalanga, took 18 years to complete and cost the fiscus slightly more than the planned 81 billion rand. It actually cost 240 billion rand. Putting matters in their right perspective, ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula, a man of few words in most of times, said, and I quote, "The ANC cannot be blamed for the delays and the slight escalation in cost at Medupi and Kusile. It was the greedy workers with their labor strikes that led to this. As a result of the strikes, there were unplanned design faults with rubbers that convey coal breaking," close quote. This led to Eskom being forced to buy equipment at double and sometimes 100 times the cost, which the racist and counter-revolutionary media wrongfully referred to as corruption and mismanagement, Mbalula said briefly. Point 3. The ANC has committed to rebuild the chrome and manganese industries by finalizing the tariffs for chrome and manganese. That word again, tariffs. In short, the ANC will make sure that those who buy our chrome and manganese pay the right price, the same way as former PRASA CEO Lucky Montana has committed to pay 5 million rands of his reported 55 million rands tax debt. Get it? Point 4. In a move that drew the most applause from the country, the ANC has committed to improve the state's capacity to manage major projects by professionalizing project management and establishing a cross-government coordinating unit. The ANC cited the Estina Farm project in the Free State as a perfect example of how the government has succeeded in such moves. The Estina project, the ANC reminded us, done in partnership with an Indian-based world-class multinational company, resulted in hundreds of small-scale farmers, black farmers, being converted into successful commercial farmers now exporting their goods all over the world. Point 5. The ANC will drive local economic development and investment in local infrastructure by focusing on townships, rural areas, and small towns. Citing the shining example of municipalities like Emfuleni in Gauteng and Dijobotla in the Northwest, the government, under the incorruptible ANC, will establish municipal local economic development technical units. Point 6. In a move that will create millions of jobs, as repeatedly promised in successive election manifestos, the ANC has recommitted itself to a sharp refocus on labor activation and public employment programs. taking the rams by the horns, tried very hard to understand what this means. We failed. Our suspicion is that the ANC is committed to continue on its trajectory of creating jobs for all, just as it has done in the past 30 years. Under the ANC, employment has grown from between 20 and 22% in 1994 and 30 and 33% currently. I'm told the figures are for unemployment, not employment. My bad. Anyway, there shall be jobs for all. Point 7. The ANC will expand support for SMMEs via development finance institutions. Through this, the party has promised concessional finance and improved market access for small, medium, and micro enterprises. Emphasizing on improved market access, the ANC highlighted as one of its shining examples the 263 million rand water tanker tender that the city of Joburg awarded to small businesses in an instant, turning 20-year-old directors into millionaires. We tried to interview the directors, but the address was bogus. The ANC also cited the example of self-made billionaire Hangwani Maumela, who, through his innovative accounting system, turned Tembisa Hospital from a third-world facility to nothing, while in the process building himself a modest 80 million rand home and buying cars from money that was meant for ambulances. ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa, who does not know or has never met Maumela before, has expressed his desire to make acquaintance with the small businessman and use him to teach other SMEs how to grow from rags of local hospitals to riches of Sandhurst. Point 8. In order to curb the rampant migration from rural areas to cities, the ANC aims to enable growth of provincial economies outside main economic centers. This, the ANC said, it will do to spite former Western Cape Premier Helen Zille, who once referred to migrants from the Eastern Cape as foreigners. The ANC hates such xenophobia and has made it clear that it will rid Cape Town of black labor and take them back to the Eastern Cape, where they will experience a better life for all. Point 9. Using the lessons from successfully working with the Gupta family, the ANC has committed itself to diversifying trade partners for government. This means, and I want you to listen carefully, that the party will seek more shady families to work with to siphon money from the state and later institute a commission to investigate the mess, just for show. The ANC has promised to use the skills of top cops like Lieutenant General Shadrach Sibiya to root out any rot that may impact negatively on this plan. General Sibiya, if you did not know, is famous for working with upstanding citizens who are known for being whistleblowers. Point 10. And finally, the ANC has assured the nation that it will ensure effective budgeting and macroeconomic coordination. Now, Fikile Mbalula reminded the nation about successful examples of budget negotiation that have been seen in cases like the Road Accident Fund, where we recently learned about how the fund negotiated skillfully to procure a bucket head for 11,000 rand and a sports bag for just under 40,000 rand. This could have cost much more were it not for sustainable budget negotiation strategy, said Mbalula. At the conclusion of the NEC meeting, President Ramaphosa emphasized the 10-pin bowling plan is nothing like the previous plans of former rulers of South Africa. These plans, Ramaphosa said, included the likes of the Growth, Employment and Redistribution Plan, GER, of 1996, which was stuck on gear one. The Accelerated and Shared Growth Initiative for South Africa, ASGISA of 2006, which was quickly in deceleration. The Industrial Policy Action Plan, IPAP, of 2007, this one was PAP from day one. The new growth plan implemented between 2010 and 2011, which only grew the gaps of politicians, as well as the National Development Plan of 2012, still under development. Ramaphosa said all these above plans were meant to condemn black people to perpetual poverty, and that his new 10-pin bowling plan will reverse all of these neo-colonial and counter-revolutionary plans. Under his watch, he assured everyone the ANC will not have another 9 wasted years. But if this new plan is not implemented, Mbalula added, the voters must blame themselves because they usurped majority power from the ANC, which is now forced to operate under a government of national disunity, which he suspects will reject the plan. Thank you very much for being part of this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Do not forget to subscribe and comment about your views on this and previous episodes. If the news of yet another plan of the ANC has just caused you pain, I have just the right antidote. Get your hands on this book, The Sweetest Taboo, which, unlike the ANC, actually delivers a better life for all, I'm told, by those who've read it. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.